This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. As agencies feeding the hungry focus on providing healthier food to the poor and elderly, President Donald Trump has proposed a 20% cut in federal funding for agriculture. As Mary Meehan reports, it's a move that advocates say is bad for people who need food and the farmers who supply it.
To understand why folks are worried is to understand Appalachia's need for food programs. West Virginia University research shows 15% of people there are food insecure. Half the families enrolled in Head Start in Athens, Ohio, don't get regular meals. And in Kentucky, a food program called God's Pantry helps the 1 in 6 adults coping with hunger. Program director Danielle Bossart says it's unclear what specific food-related programs might be impacted by the budget.
It's just the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen is just kind of scary.
Rick Roberts and a team of red-shirted members of the Bluegrass Buckeyes sort donated items at God Pantry's massive Lexington warehouse. The fans and alumni of Ohio State University check expiration dates on baby food, stretch tape to repair packaging, and arrange canned goods.
What would you classify pickles as? Condiment or vegetable?
I would say condiment.
Development director Rebecca Wallace says feeding programs are under threat at a moment they are striving to provide better nutrition.
This year we'll distribute right about 32 million pounds of food. That's a lot of food. And when you think about how much food we are putting onto the tables of low-income families, it also tells us we have an awesome responsibility to make sure that we're not simply filling bellies, but that we are nourishing bodies.
The 2014 Federal Farm Bill included the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive, or FINNI. Through grants, it links local farmers to food stamp recipients. In Kentucky, it's called Double Dollars. Spend $10 in food stamps on healthy food and get a $10 voucher to double the buying power.
A total of 20. Oh, let's just do 10.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. At the Berea Farmers Market, Andrea Moss, whose infant daughter, Sabali, is bundled against the wind, use the program for the first time.
If you are a lower income family, it doesn't mean that you have to shop at places with cheap and like awful produce.
Ashton Wright is Lexington's food coordinator. She's leading the effort to take Double Dollars statewide, an expansion made possible through a $1 million matching grant. The same thing is happening in Ohio, with research for a similar program ongoing in West Virginia.
What's so exciting about these Double Dollars programs is not only helping to encourage folks to eat better and make those healthy behavior changes, it's also directly supporting our local food and farm economy. So it's directly putting dollars into the pockets of farmers who oftentimes are struggling.
Nationally, FINNI will provide $100 million for healthy food through 2018. Beyond that, its future is unclear. A similar program serving the elderly, 12,000 people served just by God's Pantry, is at risk by proposed budget cuts.
Can these tokens, are they only for the Berea, or can they also be used like at the Richmond?
Berea Farmers Market manager Margie Seltzer says cutting food to poor people hurts local farmers.
If people believe in your local farm economy, you got to believe in food stamps and support that.
It's not clear if the president's proposed cuts will happen. Some members of Congress, including the head of the House Agriculture Committee, have already voiced opposition. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Berea, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. This light rain will taper off by this afternoon with some sunshine later in the day. Temperatures in the mid-60s to low 70s today. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with overnight lows in the mid-40s to the low 50s. Mostly sunny and pleasant tomorrow with highs in the 70s.
Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents are available at erieinsurance.com.
Thank you.
This morning, we're going to hear another conversation about religious faith and cultural identity in West Virginia as part of a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and StoryCorps. Here, Kay Albright, Reverend and founding member of the Bridges of Grace United Church of Christ, interviews two of her congregants, Nancy Michael and Essie Gilbert, who are gay women. She asks them about their search for a relationship with God.
So, hello. My name is Reverend Kay Albright. I am the founding pastor of Bridges of Grace United Church of Christ. The United Church of Christ is a relatively new denomination in this area. However, we are about to celebrate 5 years of existence. And I'll tell you, the church planting is not really for the faint of heart. However, the great joy in planting a church is you start from nothing, and it's wonderful to see the seeds grow. The great joy is bringing people from all different backgrounds and traditions towards a common purpose, learning and living the love of God. We truly believe the motto of the United Church of Christ at Bridges of Grace, and that motto is, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here.
When I was in high school, you know, I was very involved in our church youth group. I was involved in Young Life, non-denominational, high school-based youth group. Very, very involved in that. And, you know, I would talk to other kids about how they were loved by God. But when it came time for me to believe that about myself, I couldn't do that. My first girlfriend bought me a book about homosexuality in the Bible, and I mean, it was remarkably a positive book about that.
Good.
Because she wanted me to be okay with who I was and with God.
What are some of the things that helped you to change your understanding of God in relationship to who you were becoming?
I think that finding and accepting and affirming church was the key. I mean, I knew that they were out there. I knew that there were churches out there that you could go to even if you were gay, but I had to find one. We were living in Oklahoma, and we were living in a college town, so I went to the websites to try to find churches in the area that I felt that Jane and I would be welcome in. And I didn't really find any there in Stillwater. There may have been some, but I didn't find any. So instead, we found a church called the Church of the Open Arms, which is a United Church of Christ down in Oklahoma City. So we would drive an hour and 20 minutes on Sunday to go to church in Oklahoma City.
That's awesome. For you, Essie, you said that you really worked hard to not have God stuff around it. Was it easy for you to find churches to go to?
I actually didn't necessarily find a church. After the first breakup with Jack, I had a best friend that I was hanging out with, and she dragged me, kicking and screaming, to her church. And it was an MCC church, and I walked in combat boots and shorts, and you know, nobody was going to convert me at all. And that was the same night, though. I mean, there were no harsh tactics or anything like that. It was really very sweet, and that was the night that I decided that I would just worship God for who God showed up for me, you know, how God showed up for me. So, I mean, in that respect, yeah, because it was very easy for me to take all that stuff because I'd grown up hearing, you know, this certain amount of people, these people are going to hell, okay? There's the white devil, the blue-eyed devil, gay people. Like, there was this whole list of people that were going to hell. So for me to decide to take that and throw it away, that was really easy, okay? Mm-hmm. That was a really easy choice. After a while in that denomination, it was my spiritual journey that I felt I wasn't fulfilling, that I wasn't growing. So wandering around, and you were right. It was the garden worship where and I wandered into your congregation, and here I am.
Well, I'm honored that the two of you have shared your life journeys with me, with us. It still amazes me how two people from such diverse backgrounds can come together and can find a home and can find a church family that all in one place, a place that kind of accepts you no matter where you are and embraces you for that.
That was Reverend Kay Albright talking with Nancy Michael and Essie Gilbert, two members of her church. You can listen to more of our StoryCorps series on faith in West Virginia on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.